I'm really nervous because this is like, feels like a true confession. Like, I haven't been in church for a really long time, but it feels like I'm in church, like walking into the confessional to my plant people. Okay, here I go.
My sweet plant friends, welcome to the Plant Parent Confessional. This episode is a new interesting format and all about keeping it real. You know, I have to say the other day I posted on Instagram saying, hey, I'm feeling really burned out about social media and feeling like I have to curate every aspect of my public-facing life. And I asked if the people following me on Instagram, hopefully you, felt the same. And I was kind of shocked when 95% of my followers said yes. They are feeling burned out and uninspired by social media as well. Woo, plant friends, in general, man, it's been an overwhelming couple of months, really year, and I'm super uninterested in curating my thoughts and feelings about plants and plant parenthood these days. We've been through enough. Let's just be real with each other. Although I'm all about keeping it positive, I'm also all about keeping things realistic, and I am just feeling, after having many conversations with different people in our community, that social media apps make it really hard to share authentically and also not feel shame around your journey in plant parenthood, which, P.S., is going to be imperfect no matter what. Even if you have a degree in horticulture, you will make mistakes, and that is okay. It's part of the process. So this episode is actually inspired by a post that got a lot of attention, not on social media, but in the Garden Party private platform a couple of months ago, and I really haven't been able to get the conversation that kind of ensued out of my head since then. For those of you that don't know, I recently launched the Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform. It's a private platform and app that's off social media. There's no algorithm. You post and everybody sees your posts, and you can pick what you want to like see posts about. Like if you only want to see houseplant posts, only want to see gardening posts. It's like as unsocial media as possible for, I guess, a social app. But anyway, Christy, our founding member, started this plant parent confessional where she said Instagram can be super curated. Sometimes I do things that don't make the Instagram cut, like plant fells, or doing perceivedly like bad plant parent practices. And oh my gosh, plant friends, it was so refreshing to see everyone just say, you know what? I don't fertilize my plants as much as I know I need to. I trim brown leaves before I take a photo. I didn't know I was supposed to prune my plants or whatever. Like, it was so fun to just see people be so raw and expressive and seen in a beautiful way. So this episode is community-based, inspired from that post, where I invited Garden Party members to call in or write their confessionals, and we share them today. I created this episode in hopes to just normalize the messiness of plant parenthood and tell you that, my sweet plant friend, no matter where you are in your plant parent journey, you are welcome here. So, as always, welcome to episode 132 of Bloom and Grow Radio. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Okay, so I want to give a special shout out to Christy, one of our founding plant friends, founding members of the Bloom and Grow Garden Party. She was actually a beta tester of the Garden Party too, gave a lot of feedback and helped really make the platform what it is today. She is the one who started this confessional post in the platform that kind of took off. And Christy is one of the first people that called in. So everybody else that you're going to hear from today is just going to remain anonymous because this is an anonymous Plant Parenthood safe space for people to call in. But Christy's okay with me saying her name, and she's the one who actually kind of started this whole idea that inspired me for this episode, so I wanted to give her credit. So thanks, Christy. She called in, and she really frames this concept up so beautifully, so I'm just going to let her speak for herself.
Being a plant parent is a continuous learning journey. Sometimes it feels like there's so much pressure to never have a mark on a leaf, but it's through those imperfections in leaves that I've found that we learn the most. Something I know I should do that I don't do as often as I should is repot. I have plants that I've had for 3 or 4 years still in their nursery pots. Some I know are root bound, but I tend to pot up plants I've propagated more often than those that I've had for a while. It's bad. I know, occasionally I just put some more dirt on top and tell myself, it's all right. It's not all right. When I think of good plant care, I always think of those wonderfully staged pictures in the new flashy plant books with the wonderfully laid out potting station. The first thing they always say is, disinfect your tools. I think I've done that once in like 5 years. I think I'm doing well if I run them under a tap. I'm really terrible. I think one of the best pieces of advice I've got from Bloom and Grow is when trying to understand your plant is to look at its habitat. This has led me to one of the weirder things that I do with them. Once a month, I move them all into my shower and I fake a monsoon. I have a lot of tropicals, so I make it nice and humid. I leave the exhaust fan off so it gets very foggy, and I give them a good downpour. And then I leave them in the humidity and warm for a bit just to drain. It never ceases to make me smile to see my shower just full of plants. Confessions of a plant parent. One of my very memorable and upsetting plant fails is while I was in my initial joyous rush of plant parenthood. I took a rub plant, Ficus elastica, that was living quite happily in my low light hole, and moved it to a window in direct sunlight for a couple of days. My inexperienced plant parent brain said, maybe I should give it a nice holiday and some sunlight. The shock of the sudden change in light caused it to lose all its leaves, and it suffered a very painful and remarkably sudden death. Not understanding light and how it affects different families of plants is a continuous learning journey we're all on. But that's how I learned that ficus are unbelievably fussy. Give me a calathea any day. I've really found that it's the journey that should give you joy. And learning journeys are made up of successes, but also our mistakes. I've never put a ficus in direct sunlight ever again.
I really love how, from the get-go, Christy says it's the imperfections of our plants that are sometimes the most delightful and the biggest opportunities to learn. Christy just, I mean, she's just everything. She's everything that this community should be. She's so lovely. Christy, in solidarity with you, I'm letting you know I don't sterilize my tools either. I've sterilized them a couple of times if they're like filthy from some sort of weird project, but like I rarely sterilize my tools. I know it's something you should do. And I know that in, you know, greenhouse horticulture, it's very important. But girl, I'm there with you. Guilty as charged. Also, guilty as charged with the repotting. Basically, everything you've said you do, I've totally done too. I think many people in our community have definitely done it because on her post, there were many people that were like, I don't sterilize my tools either. So speaking of repotting, because Christy mentioned it, I am going to read an anonymous note that a Garden Party member sent in. She didn't want to record something, so she asked me if I would read it. So here we go. Back in early March this year, I decided to repot my Tradescantia Zebrina purple tinge after it grew wildly, like it can be a hair wig wildly, in LECA in a 6-inch self-watering pot for a year. It was long overdue and was losing old leaves on all of the leaves at the base at a pace that I didn't like, and I knew that was a telltale sign it was root-bound and choking itself out. It was beautiful, but it needed help. Well, I had to destroy the inner pot. All of the drainage holes, which were few, were clogged with roots. Dremel to the rescue, RIP, inner pot. Whoops. I freed it only to find quite a bit of the roots were rotting from being root-bound. I separated them from the LECA, turned some of them into vines into cuttings, composted a handful of vines, I was prepared to expect this, and turned the healthy ones into two smaller plants in soil. With the cuttings, I replanted those into two smaller potted plants, filling them out. I gifted one to my mom and kept the other. Just recently, I fell out of love with my non-fuzzy Tradescantia that I had, including this one. I chopped mine up into a ton of cuttings and kept four short vines for myself, so I had a backup. I propagated them into upcycled yogurt cups. I originally planned to give these away for Halloween, along with sweets, until I saw that the local Facebook plant group announced a plant swap in my area. Sweet! I brought all seven yogurt cups, each with four rooted cuttings of my Tradescantia Sabrina Purple Tinge. It was a success. Each one now has a different home. Moral of the story, don't defer your plant maintenance unless you are mentally okay to accept the consequences. Okay, girl, I get it and I love it. I've totally been there before. Also, I think like normalize falling out of love with some of your plants, right? This plant used to bring her joy. After a while, it didn't. And so instead of just composting it, how beautiful that she made propagations that she could share, because that beautiful purple plant, I'm sure, is bringing other people joy. I just love this story. And I think we've all had that moment where we've realized, oh man, I've really let this plant get too pot bound. Oh man, I totally overwatered that plant and it's miserable. This is a part of Plant Parenthood and you shouldn't feel bad about it, right? These are the moments that we learn from. And just like she said, moral of the story, don't defer your plant maintenance unless you're mentally okay to accept the consequences. It's okay to have periods where you forget to take care of your plants. It's also okay to be okay with that and let go. So thank you very much for that submission. Okay, next up, we have another confession having to do with cuttings.
So I'm a serial propagator, and I think that sometimes my plants, they don't know whether I'm going to pull out scissors or if I'm going to water them and love on them when I come over. So they probably kind of cower in fear a little bit. But when I propagate, my secret is that I've never changed the water on any of my propagations. And I have about a 95 to 97% success rate with my propagations. My reasoning behind this is that I know that plants, they produce like a rooting hormone when they're propagating in water or sphagnum moss or whatever. And I think that if I dump the water out, it might be getting rid of that rooting hormone, which then will lengthen the process of rooting. I don't know if this is true scientifically. I've never really done an experiment whether or not it works more quickly or less quickly when I don't dump the water out. But I do know that my plants always root and they're always healthy and they're always ready to go on to new homes after this happens.
So with this listener, I don't know if that's true or not from a scientific perspective, but I know that it works for you and it's what you do and you should live your life, right? I know that when propagating, like there needs to be a certain amount of oxygen in the water, but if you don't want to change the water, you could also like take a straw and blow bubbles into the water or have like a bubbler in there, which I've also heard other people do, but this is amazing. And once again, falls in line with the fact that we're in our homes, not necessarily doing what everyone's talking about on the internet and still being successful, which I find extremely interesting. So you do you, keep blooming and growing. Okay, here is another anonymous confession that I am going to read. Anonymous Garden Party member says, I repot and propagate in the fall and winter, and often that's when I fertilize the most often too. They don't seem to care. My houseplants are all on the verge of neglect in the late spring and summer, as I'm far too busy happily gallivanting outside during peak growing season. So that's a really interesting point, and it brings up an interesting thing because our houseplants aren't subject to the seasons that our outdoor plants are. So I feel like everyone feels like we have to abide by the seasons indoors, but indoors our plants aren't experiencing seasons. So you're right, it isn't as important that indoor plants are only fertilized in the spring and summer, even though those are definitely rules of thumb that you can go by. But I've heard that a lot of indoor houseplant parents do this as well. They repot when necessary. And I think it's also important to think about, like, if you have a root bound, pot bound plant in the middle of winter and you realize it, if that plant needs to be repotted, I don't think it makes sense to leave that plant in its pot until the spring. if it's ailing, like if it's showing signs of being pot bound and not getting the nutrients and water that it needs. So more power to you, girl. I do that too. I've been known to have repotting sessions in the winter. Just know that obviously when you're watering, you know, you're probably going to be scaling your water back in the winter a little bit. But anyway, you do you. I've totally done that too. I've totally repotted. And because I use Espoma liquid fertilizer, it's so gentle that I usually put a little bit of it in my water when I'm watering anyway, year round. Plant friends, you know I love Espoma Organics so very much. They've been my exclusive soil and fertilizer provider for years now. They are a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. I've had a couple of questions about pet-friendly products, and Espoma is very pet-friendly. I have been using their potting mixes and fertilizers for years, and I love that as my collection has grown, the way that I use their products has changed. Most of my houseplants, especially ones that I've had for many years, are potted in their standard potting mix or their standard cactus mix. But lately, I know I've been talking about this on social media, but I've been using my lazy girl method of making fancy potting mix by just mixing their standard potting mix and then their orchid mix, which has like all of the different amendments that you would want to add to a potting mix, but like already prepackaged. Makes it real easy because I'm in a real low maintenance plant parent moment. If you're looking to up your fertilizer game, that's something that gets talked about a lot in this episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start fertilizing your houseplants, if you're not fertilizing as much as you want to, their indoor liquid houseplant fertilizer is so foolproof and easy. There's a pre-filled cap. You just tip the bottle over. It's already pre-filled and measured for you. You dump it into your watering can and water. It's rather gentle, so you can use it like every time you water or every other time you water. It's awesome. Whatever you're growing, indoors or outdoors, Espoma Organics has the potting mix, compost, or fertilizer for you. To learn more about all of their amazing indoor and outdoor gardening products, check out espoma.com to find your local Espoma dealer or check my Amazon storefront for my curated favorites. Plant friends, I had so much fun this spring starting my first batch of seeds with Territorial Seed Company. They are absolutely amazing, and I had so much fun planting with them this spring. But the fun thing about Territorial Seed Company is they want to be your go-to seed provider year-round. And it's almost time to plant that stalwart of the overwinter vegetable garden, garlic. Plant friends, I didn't know this before I started working with Territorial Seed Company, but you plant garlic in the fall. It grows underground through the winter, and then you harvest it in the spring or summer. So it's super easy to grow, super rewarding. Melody loves growing her own garlic. We've had long talks about it. Every gardener I know who has done this says once you've tasted your own homegrown garlic, you will never go back. I have a feeling it's very similar to growing your own tomatoes and never going back. Territorial Seed Company is kind of known for their garlic variety. They have an insane array of delicious garlic variety within your reach with the click of a mouse. It's prime time to get some of these staples in your garden. So they're extending a special discount just for the listeners of this podcast. Use code BLOOM10 at checkout to get 10% off of your order at territorialseed.com. Garlic is available now and going fast, so check it out to get yourself some garlic and maybe some other winter vegetables to grow at territorialseed.com. And that's code BLOOM10 at checkout. Okay, next up, our next confession. Here we go.
This is something I've always done, even from the beginning of learning how to be a plant parent, is I reuse old soil. I reuse soil where I found mold or root rot, and I don't care. I put it in a box. I leave it out in the sun, and then I revitalize it, and I reuse it, and it's been fine. And the frugal person in me doesn't want to throw away perfectly good soil if I can make sure not to kill something in the future. So yeah, that's my plant parent confession. I have no shame about it.
You know, I really love this. Girl, you're frugal. You figured out something that works for you. Keep your eyes out for pests and just keep on going. Keep doing you. You're not the only person that brought this up in the Garden Party platform. Several people have talked about it. And I appreciate you not only wanting to be frugal, but not being wasteful. So if it's working for you and your plants are happy, there you go. Keep growing. Now, on the topic of pests, why don't we hear another confession?
I always say, do as I say, not as I do. I guess my dad used to say that a lot. So I tell people how to take care of their plants, and I know how to take care of my plants, but I don't always do what I should. So what I'm really bad at is taking care of bugs, which could there be a worse thing to be bad at, right? Or to dilly-dally around with, because I feel I have a lot of plants, as you know, probably too many. You did not hear me say that. And so plants get forgotten. I water them quickly because I have so many, and sometimes I don't pay attention to them as much as I should. Like I tell people to, like, pay attention to your plants. Check them every time you water them. Look underneath the leaves. Turn them. Clean them. So I'm not as good at that as I should be.
You know, I think this speaks to so many different phases of plant parenthood, high maintenance versus low maintenance, how to navigate it all. We go through seasons where we want to be super attentive to our plants and, you know, be proactive about bugs. And then we go through seasons where we just don't. And sometimes it has to do with the fact that maybe you've accumulated too many plants. You get overwhelmed, just like this member confessed. Boy, oh boy, I confess to this too. And I love do as I say, not as I do. That's funny. I also feel like for me, if I see like a spider mites infestation, yeah, I know I should at least quarantine the plant before I tend to it. But like if it's like a scale, you know, like if I see some scale on a plant and I know that scale isn't going to kill my plant, like I've totally been known to like leave it be for a couple of days until I had like more time to tend to it. So more power to you. All right, let's have a confession about the emotions and excitement of getting a new plant.
I am stepping into the plant confessional. What is something that I do that goes against good plant care? I do not keep my plants isolated when I bring them home. I'm just too excited when I get a new plant. I want to put it out right away and be able to look at it and enjoy it. So maybe I keep it 1 or 2 days separated, but by day 3, that baby is out and in its new, beautiful location. The caveat there is I get a plant from a big box grocery store, then I definitely keep it a little bit longer, but not 1 to 2 weeks. Okay, what is something that I tell people that I don't actually do? Girl, that is dust my plants. I do not even like dusting my furniture, and that's easier than dusting plants. So I really don't get around to dusting my plants until they look really bad. And finally, what is the recent plant sale that I've done? I took both of my staghorn ferns. And what's worse is I kept them mounted on the wall for a couple of weeks before I decided that they were actually dead. And then I finally took them down and got rid of them. That's my plant confessions.
Oh man, I feel seen by this one. I totally get the isolation thing. And to be frank with you, plant friends, I didn't know the isolation rule for a while in Plant Parenthood. Even like in my first several episodes of Bloom and Grow Radio, I didn't know that that was a thing, that you were supposed to isolate plants. Then I started hearing people talk about it and I didn't really believe in it. And then I think like I only really started isolating plants once I had like a pest outbreak due to bringing something home from the nursery. I had a friend, we went out and got her herbs. We potted her herbs up immediately, put them in her collection, and she had like all sorts of spiders in the soil from the nursery. It was a whole thing. It was traumatic for her. But yeah, I kind of gauge the whole quarantine thing. I do my best to do it, but I've totally had moments sometimes where I'm like, yeah, but this would just look so cute in this corner. So I totally hear you. I want to tell a quick story about dusting plants. The other day, Billy and I found our new gym in our new home. We're shredding for the wedding. We've been going to the gym like 4 or 5 times a week. And I was wrapping up my workout class and Billy was waiting for me at the front of the gym. And I see him from across the room as I'm walking to the front of the gym to meet him. Billy is dusting off the leaves of a freaking fiddly fig tree. There's a fiddly fig in the window of our gym. It is dusty AF, hasn't been cared for very well. And Billy is there with his hands wiping the fiddly fig off, being like, this thing is covered in dust. It's not going to be able to photosynthesize. I love him. And I just love catching him in those like plant parent moments, which his journey has been so sweet. And you can listen back on the other episodes we've done together for that. But anyway, fun dusting story, but totally hear you on that. And I also totally get like the plant field thing. I've totally knocked a plant over and not cleaned it up immediately. And Billy has totally caught me and been like, Maria, tighten up. But I feel like that's part of plant parenthood, is like just always having soil everywhere in your house, no matter what. Okay, this next confession is one of my absolute favorite members of the garden party. He's a long time listener and supporter of Bloom and Grow Radio. He will remain anonymous for this episode, but if you're in the garden party, you'll know who we're talking about. But the funny part is, with this confession you're about to hear, like, he has the most impressive garden. Oh my God. Like, he has the most impressive outdoor garden. So this confession just makes it even better.
I don't do anything hardly when it comes to my plants other than water them. I've got so many different flowers and tomatoes and peppers and blah, 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 all these things in my garden. And you'd think it takes a lot of effort to do it, but if it takes anything more than just watering it, I'm not interested. I probably should go out there and prune some of them and do some weeding and actually take care of it. But at the end of the day, there's just so much stuff to do that I just kind of leave it. As long as the plants are growing and they're healthy, I'm not going to bother with all the fancy whatever. And yeah, that's kind of me. Take the lazy approach. And as long as my plants are growing, that's good enough for me.
Okay, plant friends, now we're going to dive into some pressures of Instagram, some confessions about the pressures of Instagram, and some really poignant points and some photo tips.
Something I used to do with my plant collection that I feel wasn't very Instagram worthy was applying filters to the plant photos. I used to scroll endlessly through other Instagrams, looking at their photos, and everybody had perfect plants, and I always felt like mine didn't ever make the cut. They were like put to shame. So I would go online, post a picture, bump up my brightness, do what I could to make the greens greener, the leaf patterns sharper, more crisp, increase the saturation of color on the flowers. It would just take like a couple clicks and my plants looked as amazing as everyone else's. But the thing I like about plants is that they aren't perfect. Something can happen to them, damage. Each plant is unique in its own way, just like people are unique in their own way. So if we keep editing them and posting these pictures, no one knows what to expect. No one knows what things are realistic.
Okay, so this garden party member basically just gave us a masterclass in photo editing because it's exactly what I do with my photos. Like what he described, what he does with his photos is exactly what I currently do with my photos on Instagram. It's so funny, like the other day I was scrolling through my Instagram feed all the way to 2017 when I started it for the podcast, and like Instagram has become kind of this monster of like hyper curation, and your photos all need to have a theme and filters, and just like this garden party member is saying, like there's just this pressure to make all of your photos look beautiful in general, and then on top of that, I feel like there's pressure to make your plants look perfect. And it's just not fair, and it's just not real. This pressure to make the feed, make engaging reels, compete for likes, and battle the algorithm, it's all just bullshit, and it's not why we're here to be plant parents, yet this amazing community of plant parents have found people on Instagram because it's this visual app where we can show our photos of our plants, but I feel like sometimes it goes a little sideways with the pressures and the perfection associated with it. I really struggle with it because I know that personally, Instagram is an incredibly important tool to spread the word about my podcast and business. But interestingly enough, like I find myself sharing more of my plant collection and real-time like raw plant experiences in the Garden Party app instead of Instagram, because I don't have time to like curate a photo to put on Instagram, yet I can just throw it in the Garden Party app and like share a thought and not be worried about being judged or like not getting likes. And it's very interesting. But this plant friend makes this interesting point about what a heightened reality we're all participating in on the app and how important it is to make sure that we commit to recognizing that it's just that, it's heightened, curated reality, and we shouldn't feel pressured to abide by it. Here is another confessional about Instagram.
What do you do with plants that aren't Instagram worthy? I take close-ups. If you look at my Instagram feed or pictures that I've taken, you'll notice that most of them are really close up. Number one, I have a lot of plants and a lot of things in my home, so I don't always pan back to show everyone that. And also, every plant doesn't look like it should be on Instagram, but sometimes the flowers do, or a leaf does, or some part of it. So that's what I do. I take close-ups.
Now, I love this tip about Instagram. It's all about the angles. Once again, it's all about the curation. It's all about the angles, finding the good shot that makes the plant look good, right? Getting the ring light, getting the lights tweaked. But I love this suggestion from our confession. Like I said in the beginning of this episode, I told you guys about Instagram burnout and feeling the pressures of Instagram, and 95% of you said that you were struggling this season. Plant friends, this is your gentle reminder to take care of yourselves. Please take care of yourselves like you take care of your plants. It feels like our world is crumbling around us. For many of us, we're just beginning to process the compounding trauma and anxiety that we have all just gone through, both individually and as a society. I strive to make this podcast a positive, safe space for us to just have brief moments of exhale, to smile and lightheartedly kind of celebrate our plants. But know that this has also been the hardest year of my life, filled with so much transition and so much growth. And I, like many of you, are sometimes holding on by a thread at moments and sometimes just need to confess, need to be real. I feel like I walk that line on this podcast as this podcast host of keeping it positive, but also keeping it real. So it's time for my confession as a plant parent and as the leader of this podcast and community. I mentioned this briefly on the recent Plant Friend panel that we had on plant care routines, but this has been a really challenging year for me as a plant parent and as a human. We moved 3 times, which was not planned, and I emotionally have been struggling in so many different ways. We've had to reschedule our wedding 3 times. My performing career evaporated in front of my eyes. I've been transitioning into making this podcast and this media company, you know, a full-time gig, and entrepreneurship has its own ups and downs. I have always said that our plants are a reflection of our internal worlds, and I've always felt that on some level, but I really felt it in a very deep way this winter when I was extremely overwhelmed and going through a bit of a blue period. And I honestly, plant friends, here's the confession, I was neglecting my plants. I had this moment where I was hyper overwhelmed on a deadline, working, and I looked around and my plant collection did not look happy. Everyone was drooping. Everyone was wilted. No one was thriving. Granted, it was the middle of the winter in a very low light home, but looking around my plant collection and noticing how unwell they were was a real watershed moment for me when I realized how unwell I was. I had slipped out of the routines that I had built around plants and self-care, and this external trigger of I need to be a better plant parent really served as my wake-up call for me to start being a better parent to myself as well. And that for me looked like getting back in therapy, returning to the old plant care practices that I knew and old self-care practices that I knew that served my spirit. It looked like prioritizing joy amidst a lot of chaos in my life. And obviously, it looked like caring for my plants again. If any of you guys were in my boat, I think many of us have had moments of just feeling unbelievably overwhelmed, helpless, struggling, blue, anxious, whatever it may be. I've been feeling it and crying my way through it with you guys. Don't worry, behind the scenes. And I wanted to share a practice that really helped me kind of pull myself out of that moment. So when I have this watershed moment of realizing, oh my God, I have to be a better plant parent, I have to be a better me parent, I couldn't dive back to that old routine that I used to have because also that old routine was tied with my old house, which I was no longer in. But what I did do was commit to engaging with my plants every single day, which was not something I was doing in that moment because I was so overwhelmed and just like living by my calendar. So it was far from a routine, but once a day I had to spend a moment with a plant, whether it was touching a leaf, wiping off dust, just enjoying a pattern of leaf, watering, you know, anything that we've talked about on the plant care routine episode. And it felt really forced at first because I was still really just kind of unraveling from a lot of stuff I was going through, but slowly but surely, I fell back into the swing of things and I started being a better plant parent and being a better me parent. And it was wild. My plants improved and my mental health improved. I don't think I have ever truly felt that deep of a connection to the whole quote unquote plant care, self-care thing. And I know that everybody says that now, like it's not new, but that's another Instagram trap that I feel like we fall into is like plant care is self-care. Water your plants. Make sure they're perfect. Investing in your plants. Investing in you. Like have a lot of humidifiers. Fill your home with all these plants. No, sometimes like plant care is self-care like really boils down to like plants can serve as a reminder to literally take care of yourself. Because if you're not taking care of your plants, you're probably not taking care of yourself and vice versa. And boy, oh boy, did I learn that lesson this year. And to be even more honest, as a confession, we moved again this month. It was a really crazy month. I'm prepping for my wedding, which is the 3rd wedding date that we've had. I haven't been the perfect plant parent still. This is my year of very imperfect plant parenthood. I miss waterings. I'm gentle with myself. I'm rolling with it. I'm learning so much from my plant fails, and I'm learning so much about being gentle with myself. And I'm learning that maybe I'm a little bit of a low maintenance plant parent right now. And I've shifted from mindful plant parenthood to low maintenance, low key plant parenthood. And that's okay too. So that's my plant parent confession. I've had my bad plant parent moments, just like everybody else in this community has. But here's the beauty of it all, plant friends. Plant parenthood is not curated. It is messy. Literally, it involves soil under our fingernails, dirt, and yellow leaves consistently on our floor. And even an occasional bout of bugs indoors. Oh my. Like so many people shared, it's those messy moments that sometimes bring us the most joy. So plant friends, confess on. Keep living your true, authentic plant parent lives. Continue making mistakes. Continue growing for them. This episode is to show you that you are not alone in your struggles or wins. This is a lifelong hobby that we are all engaging in together. I hope to be along for your ride for all of eternity. This ride will have seasons similar to the plants that we care for. And wherever you are exactly where you need to be. Now, you know that I am here for you through this podcast. I will continue bringing this podcast to you every other week. At the least, we're going to gear up and have extra episodes in the holiday season. So I will always be in your earbuds on this podcast as free content on Instagram and TikTok. When I can show up in a healthy way, frankly, I'm finding a lot more fun on TikTok these days than Instagram, but I'm still on both. But man, there is really something very special happening in the Garden Party platform. These people are just freaking nice. They are each other's cheerleaders. It's so fun seeing these conversations that are having. I find myself, like I said earlier in the episode, posting more in the Garden Party platform because there is no algorithm to beat. You don't have to curate a feed. You can post what you're thinking. You can post a quick, messy photo of your plants just because you wanted to share and move on. You don't have to curate a cuckoo caption. Every post I've ever made in the Garden Party platform has insane typos. It's just a place to be real and raw and spread kindness and be nice to each other, which is really my goal, just to get us spreading kindness through plant care. I'm just seeing that over and over and over again in this app and in this community at large. So if this episode resonated with you, I invite you to come be a part of our Garden Party, where the confessions are real, the plant parents are nice, there's always a new discussion, and you are always welcome. So until next time, my sweet plant friends, how I love you and how thankful I am always for you. And I'm so excited to continue serving you in new, very exciting ways coming this fall that may or may not be associated with the Garden Party platform, but we will leave that for another day. And until next time, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more planty content or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.